Chris Brown here on the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, joined by Eric Wood, Bill Center. And Eric, we're wrapping up OTAs rather quickly here, already in week three, mandatory minicamp next week. Where have you seen the offense take the biggest step forward here through these practices?
I think we started a little farther ahead this year with EJ heading into his second year, us all being a little bit more familiar with the offense this year. So, I think we started ahead of where we were last year. So, overall, we're concentrating a lot on red zone, a lot on third downs, and we've seen some progress, but, we're just focusing on little jumps each day to get where we want to be, from a bottom offense in the league to near the top. You know, it's not going to happen overnight, and we understand that, but by making little strides each day, we feel like we can make a big jump eventually.
Stringing positive plays together the last couple of days has proven a little difficult, and EJ kind of gave us a reason why today when he was asked about it. He said, look, this week the coaches pretty much threw the playbook at us. Large volume of stuff going in, and he feels that's one of the main reasons that maybe the play-to-play consistency has suffered a little bit. That's pretty common, though, right? I mean, at this stage in the game, I mean, you're going to have your ups and downs when you're throwing in the kitchen sink at a whole unit, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, going into a game, we have a huge playbook, and we narrow it down pretty good what we think is going to work against a specific defense. So we know each of those plays. We know every look. We know what defenses it's good against, bad against. When you have the entire playbook to choose from, and we're kind of picking at random because we'll have a series of all first and tens, it's hard to know every nuance of every play for every person on the field, especially some of these young guys. So, it puts the offense at a disadvantage, but it's good for us. You know, it helps you find out what works, what doesn't, what we're capable of bringing into a game from a playbook standpoint. But another thing is, when you have these days where you're working maybe a lot of third downs, the success rate in the NFL of playoff teams is, just over 40%. Well, that's not a huge success rate. So when you run a third down period and the defense wins, a majority of the plays, that's kind of expected,
right?
But, at the same sense, it doesn't look good. And we've been looking to improve.
So maybe just to spell it out a little more clearly, an average game plan probably has what, 60 to 70 plays, right? Is that an accurate range?
Probably a little bit less.
Less. Okay. So maybe 50 to 60?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fair number. So in these practice settings, what's the number? 110? 100? Is it double? I mean, I'm just kind of curious to quantify how much you guys have to process out there in 2 hours.
Yeah, probably double. Maybe even more when you throw in each play that we could run out of a different formation, if you count that as different individual plays, because it is different for some people. It might be different for the tight end one play. It might be different for, receiver one play. But, there's a little nuances each different formation with each play. So, I mean, when you think about the possibilities, there's probably hundreds. Obviously Nate has his favorite plays, and we see those a little bit more than others. But when you get kind of what we call onesies, you get a play that you might run once or twice a game, and you can kind of anticipate the defense going in. When Coach Schwartz is picking from a whole defensive playbook and you have no idea what's coming, sometimes the success rate's going to be a little bit lower.
Because your play is not going to fit what you feel might be coming. It's completely random what's coming at you, is what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, I was thinking about this too. Obviously, during the practice week in the regular season, you're having game plan practices with the plays that you intend to run, most of which you intend to run on a Sunday that week. Do you ever have game plan practices in the spring or in training camp? Do those exist?
Not really. Not until maybe the day before a preseason game.
Okay.
And even then, sometimes we don't do game plan practices at all for the first one or two preseason games. At this point of the year, we're trying to evaluate talent. We're trying to get better as an offense. And when you game plan, certain situations and some people know what's coming, it doesn't allow you to get as better as an individual player as you probably could, but you're right. It could look a lot better if we game planned, but you never want to do that. You kind of want to get your players out there, see what they can do, especially a lot of these young guys. A lot of it comes down to seeing if they can win their individual matchups.
Yeah, you're probably selling your team short if you take that approach this time of year.
For sure.
Eric Wood is our guest here on the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. All right, in the offensive huddle, take me on the field here. Naturally, I think a lot of people expect this kind of thing to come from the quarterback, but I'm just curious, in the huddle, who might fit the stereotype to do this. Maybe when there's a recognition that perhaps the practice intensity has waned for a series, or it's not at a level where you want it to be, or there's a couple of tough plays in a row and some shoulders are drooping. Who is the guy in the huddle that's mostly rattling the cage?
Probably me or Freddie. EJ, if he's not getting the play. You know, EJ's got a lot on his table getting the play. You know, we're calling in the actual plays through the headset and everything, so it's kind of tough for him to do it. But probably me or Freddie if Freddie's in there. And a lot of times I try to do it. I try to relay the down and distance to kind of prep receivers if it might be a second and long or a third and whatever, you know, kind of getting us positioned to succeed. But you know, I think as a whole, we've had a pretty good attitude throughout OTAs, and everyone's been excited. You know, we understand, you know, what's expected of us this year and what we expect of each other, and the accountability has been pretty high, you know, especially the personal accountability.
So now let's go to some of the line combinations, because there's been some stuff switching around you in there with the ones. And, you know, late last week, early this week, there have been some guys rotating in and out. You had Cordy next to you for a little while at left guard, which is a little different. Hairston came in with the ones and got a little work at left guard also when Chris Williams wasn't here late last week. Both have played very little guard in their career. So how much do your responsibilities change as a center when you've got, for all intents and purposes, a newbie playing guard?
From a communication standpoint, I try to be really specific with my calls. You know, sometimes we don't necessarily say everything that we could, you know, to kind of disguise it from the defense. When you got new guys in there, you say everything and pronounce your words really well and get everyone on the same page. But you know, we have some talented offensive linemen who can interchange positions, and that just makes us, you know, a better offensive line to be able to throw guys in at tackle or guard. And pretty much anybody that they've thrown in with the ones has done a great job of playing guard so far. And you know, it's given Chris Harrison a chance to come in and really show what he can do, because he was playing well at tackle. They put him in with the ones a little bit at tackle, and then one day threw him in at guard, which he's never done before.
He said he never played in his life.
Yeah, and he did a really good job. So for a kid like him to come in and do that after missing pretty much a whole year from injury was tremendous to see.
Can you, and maybe you can, because, you know, you've been in long rehab situations in your career, but most of those have been in the off season. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what it's like for him, because he was strictly like, you can't do anything. You can't rehab. You can't do any kind of pass set, hand, any nothing. You're on the couch for 8-9 months. You miss a whole season, and now you've got to get the motor memory back with everything. Can you fathom the kind of task he has here to almost relearn through motor, all the stuff that he's got to do as a lineman? I mean, I'm guessing some of it just comes back naturally, but that's got to be tough at this level.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. I think some of it came back naturally for him. I know the first few days I was constantly on him trying to keep his spirits up, because you could tell he knew what he was doing. Chris is one of our smarter players on our entire team. He's tremendously good in the classroom and in the meeting rooms and on the field mentally. And just kind of seeing where he knew what he was supposed to do, and maybe his feet couldn't catch up with him the first couple of days, you know, I kind of just stayed on. I'm like, hey, it's going to come back quick. And it really has. You know, within a few practices, he looked like the old Chris. And, you know, he's still got a little bit of ways to go from a body standpoint. Yeah. And I don't think he'd be mad at me telling you that. You know, he told us that.
He wants to get down to 327 is where he wants to get.
Yeah, so he's got to get in better shape. But, I mean, you put me on a couch for a year and tell me I can't do anything, it's going to take me a while to get back in shape, too. It's hard to blame him in a situation that he didn't ask for. So, you know, I've been really encouraged with the work he's been able to put on out there and really work to get back this offseason, because he's put in a lot of hard work.
Yeah, because the way he kind of put it was, the mind is willing, but the feet just aren't yet able at this point. He said eventually he thinks he'll get there. But, yeah, I mean, you can see what his head's telling him to do, but it's just the feet's got to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Wood is our guest here on the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. What's it been like for the first unit there, going against a lot of twos and threes with that Pro Bowl defensive line kind of here, there, and everywhere? Do you see it as a good thing for you, or is it a tougher thing for you because you got young guys trying to prove themselves going all out in these practices against you guys?
Right. It's been physical, and I know probably Doug wouldn't love me saying that, but it's been physical because you got a lot of guys out there trying to make this team. And there's a lot in the line for these twos and threes that have been going against the one defense or one offensive line. And,
yeah.
So they've been going hard. You know, we got some talented defensive tackles backing them up, Corbin Bryan and Charles, and they've done a great job filling in for Kyle when he's missed and Darius mm-hmm. when he's missed. And I think it's a great opportunity for him. You know, both those guys are showing what they can do against the ones. You know, sometimes when a defensive line makes a play against the twos, you say, well, that's the two offensive line, and kind of vice versa for the offensive line. Well, these guys are getting a chance to go prove themselves against the ones and have been doing a good job.
Kwanjo, Henderson, and Richardson are the new draft choices rolling in. I know it's not real football yet. Pads aren't even on. Are there any first impressions of those, you know, young guys coming in? I mean, you know, obviously they want to prove themselves too, but, you know, they're really limited in what they can show, you know, in this kind of a setting.
Yeah, you're right. You know, you can't be as physical as you want to be, and I think all three of them will look, you know, better when they finally get to put their head on somebody. But at this standpoint, they've done a good job of really working to learn their assignments. They all pass the eyeball test, that's for sure. I mean, they're big, strong, mm-hmm. pretty mobile, but they've had good attitudes, and I think that's the biggest thing coming in. You know, this no-huddle offense with all the terminology, you're going to have your ups and downs, and it's not always easy. And as soon as sometimes you figure out the assignment and where you're going, you know, the snap's coming so fast that it's tough to get off the ball on time. And they've had their ups and downs through these OTAs, but, you know, we all have, and I think they're coming along great.
Last one for you, Eric. The pace of this offense kind of went off the rails when you guys had injuries at quarterback. You had to sacrifice speed for efficiency, you know, with new guys coming in that were rather inexperienced and had a lot on their plate at quarterback. Can we say that the pace is going to be back this year, you know, going into 2014, is the pace going to return to this offense?
Yeah, that's our goal. We want to be fast, and we want to put the defense – we want to stay on the attack, put the defense on their heels, and I think we'll do that. And I think EJ's done a great job of picking up some concepts where he can slow it down when he wants to and really take a step back and look at the defense. But at the same time, our goal is to go fast. And you know, we condition that way. We practice that way. And I think that puts us at an advantage. Now we just got to go out and execute. I thought – at times last year, you know, our first year in it, you know, guys were more worried about figuring out what they were going to do than they were necessarily executing their block or their assignment or what they were going to do. And I think going into year two, we've all adjusted. We're all comfortable in it now, and we can really take off.
And just play.
Right.
All right, Eric. That's Eric Wood here on the John Murphy Show. Thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate the time, as always.
Thanks for having me on.